The fine art of common sense. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Continuing with the conversation on the Steve Gruber Show, it's good to have you here. And by the way, you never have to miss a program. The Steve Gruber Show, you can catch it at stevegruber.com with the Listen Live button. Tell your friends, tell those you care about, tell those that you're worried about. You can always find it at stevegruber.com. And you can also go back to interviews that you want to hear again on the podcast, also found right there at stevegruber.com. There's also Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all there for you in case you ever miss anything. Now, as you know, if you listen to the program, we talk about your health a fair amount of time. Mostly we talk about my health, and I try to make sure that you're healthy as well. I've lost some weight over the last year because I don't want to be a guy that's on diabetic medicines and so forth. I want to make sure I see my kids graduate, not just from high school, but from college as well. So I talk about health a fair amount. My next guest here is T. Michael Brown, Dr. T. Michael Brown, cardiologist with the Spiro Thoracic and Cardiovascular Institute, better known as TCI. Dr. Brown, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So as we develop here, now how long have you been a cardiologist?
I've been a cardiologist for over 20 years.
So 20 years you've been doing this. And so just let me ask you this. As you look at the advancements in technology over those last 20 years, how far ahead are we today compared to where we were the day you walked in the door?
Well, we've really come a long way. When I first started in cardiology, I think a lot of people are familiar with, you know, the intracoronary stents. We only had two at that time, and a lot of the patients that, you know, that we can treat without open heart surgery today, we could not treat that way years ago. And not only in coronary disease has that changed, but there is now a new field called structural heart disease where we are actually replacing and repairing valves by going through an incision in the leg instead of doing traditional open heart surgery.
So you,
we started our program here approximately 4 years ago, and it's been very rapidly successful.
So you go with stents and balloons and valves, and you go in through the thigh. Is that correct?
Exactly.
And to me, that's just, to me, it's just amazing. It's got to be exciting for you, honestly, doctor, to watch these advancements, to work in a day and age where every day you walk into the office, there could be something new that saves a patient's life, makes their quality of life higher, extends their life. I mean, that's got to be good fun in a certain way.
You know, that's been one of the gratifying things about being in cardiology is the amount of research and the progress we've made in this field. You know, it's still, you know, heart disease still remains the number one killer in our country. So every advancement we do improves the overall lives of everyone, I think.
So it's nice to have the cutting edge technology, but in the basic formula, like you just said, heart disease, the number one killer of preventable killer, I suppose, in America today. So there are some things I want to ask you about. How does somebody realize, I mean, we went to the modern part of the world. Now we're going to go old school. How does somebody know they might have a heart problem without being told by a doctor or having some significant cardiac event to tell them, hey, you're in an ambulance on the way to the hospital? But prior to that, give me some indications, some things that people might not realize could be an indication of, hey, you need to get to your doctor.
Well, I think, you know, the traditional, I think everybody understands chest pain. The important thing about that to remember is that chest pain and cardiac symptoms are not always experienced the same by men and women and also by the elderly. You know, the common thing we think of is crushing chest pain, the elephant on the chest, as far as heart attack symptoms are concerned. But a lot of the symptoms, particularly in women, can be just shortness of breath, jaw pain, back and shoulder pain, nausea. And another common one in women is this feeling of breaking out in a cold sweat, or what we call diaphoresis. Elderly people also can have different symptoms, and they're more likely to have problems with shortness of breath.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if there were probably two cardinal symptoms to remember is for everyone is chest discomfort, particularly symptoms that wake you at night, shortness of breath with exertion that it wakes you at night also. You know, they're more concerning, particularly if they wake you at night, but just in general, they're also concerning. So there's a variety of symptoms to be concerned about.
I want to go back to the one thing you just said, jaw pain in women. Jaw pain, what is that, where does that come from?
Well, you know, the heart, you know, is innervated into the thoracic nerve center. And it is just different sometimes in women than it is in men. Sometimes women will only have nausea. Sometimes they'll only have sweating. Sometimes, you know, it can be the left arm, which we traditionally talk about, but sometimes it's the right arm. And, you know, unfortunately, women, sometimes their symptoms get dismissed, so they're less likely to be diagnosed with a cardiac problem sometimes because of that.
So, Dr. Brown, you have a specialty in cardiac imaging here that is available at Sparrow TCI. What is cardiac imaging? And when we talk about advancements, we talk about the symptoms and different things. Cardiac imaging, how is it done? How important is it to you when you look at a patient's heart health?
Well, you know, cardiac imaging, you know, it is somewhat of a broad field. We have the field that I spend much of my time in is echocardiography, which is ultrasound of the heart. The other branches that we use commonly are nuclear cardiology and also vascular Doppler studies for patients with peripheral arterial disease. The advancements in cardiac imaging have been enormous since I've started my training. Right now, you know, the computing power and the equipment is such that we now can do very advanced 3D ultrasound imaging that was not available when I first started. It was typical 2D or flat imaging.
Sure.
And that's really made it possible to better analyze people's valves to see the significance of narrowing in the valves, the significance of leaking in the valves, and it's also very useful for us, and it guides us in those procedures that we talked about earlier about putting in valves by going through the leg or repairing valves by going through the leg. Those are all very dependent on advanced cardiac imaging.
Because you can identify those problems with valves leaking or whatever issue you may have by basically mapping and charting the heart. Is that what I'm learning?
Exactly. You know, the ultrasound actually creates 3D images of the heart. It's almost kind of, not quite, but almost like a virtual reality, and really helps us to see the structures in a 3D plane rather than just sort of a flat, like a picture.
Sure.
And so it really, you know, helps us not only to diagnose, but also helps us to guide when we're putting in therapy, such as a new valve.
That's absolutely incredible. The cutting edge. Dr. T. Michael Brown here, cardiologist from Sparrow TCI, the Thoracic Cardiovascular Institute. And, Doctor, I greatly appreciate your time. If people want to find out more, then go to 517-364-9650. That's 517-364-9650. Dr. Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.